Y'all notice anything different about the band for us?
I got a haircut.
Drum.
Oh, Mike got a haircut.
Not enough.
He's not in a uniform, right? I mean dress code. What a gift the worship was this morning. We started a series last Sunday. It's called The Gift Of, and then Fill in the Blank series. Last week we talked about the gift of faith. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, and that faith being a gift measured out by God."
So we're going to pick up, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, starting in verse 7. I believe Jerry's pulling that up. Are we pulling that up, brother? Awesome. All right. Lots of scripture this morning. Verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also ascended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Spiritual gifts. That's the topic this morning, the gift of the Spirit. And really the music just spoke so well to the message this morning. Like Mike Gillum said, we never plan this out. I never give Mike the scripture that we're using. And usually maybe Friday night or later in the week I hear the song list even. The music really spoke well to the message. Verse 16 really is the core of it. It talks about the body being joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped. Okay? Let me break this down a little bit this morning. We actually had something happen to our family this week that some of you maybe know about. We've spoke since Thursday. But Pam's dog. If anybody's ever been to our house, what's the first... Well, first of all, who are you greeted by? Zoe. And what's the first question I ask you?
Do you want a dog?
Do you want it? No matter how many times you've been to our house, I offer up my wife's dog as a parting gift. Just take her with you. And we still have her. Zoe got sick. We've had Zoe about 7 years now. Started feeling well, not well, Wednesday night. Thursday morning woke up, was even worse. Pam left work shortly after lunch on Thursday. Went home and couldn't find her dog. And found her finally in the back of the closet. She'd sort of buried herself in there behind clothes and whatever else we have in our closet. And Pam picked her up, and it was very clear immediately how sick Pam's dog was. Pam took her to the vet, and without getting too graphic, basically one of her organs had ruptured. The prognosis was not good. We decided to go ahead and try surgery. They thought that the organ had ruptured. They weren't sure, and they wouldn't know until they got in. And so they put her on some IVs immediately, and we're going to try to stabilize her before they went into surgery. Her glucose level dropped. Her temperature dropped. And so we left her in the hands of the vet, waiting on a phone call. They call us Thursday evening and tell us they had opened her up and told us that the infection was bad, it had ruptured, and there's maybe only a 40% chance that she was going to survive the surgery. And so we made the very difficult decision over the phone to go ahead and just put her down. We didn't want her to suffer. They called back a minute later and said, well, we talked to the vet, and since they're already in there and they're half done with the procedure, would you like us to just finish and try? And so we agreed and then prayed. And she, short story long, she survived. She's with us. She's at home this morning. Actually, Abby and her friend are there with her. And she had to stay overnight in the hospital and then all day the next day at the vet getting IV fluids. She'd had to have two plasma transfusions. It got very expensive. It did. But it's one of those things. My wife is smiling like, we're going to eat something this month. But once you go down that road and you make that commitment, then you have to follow through. So the joke has always been, when you come to our house, would you like to take Zoe? Well, we got too much money invested in Zoe now. But the kids, on the other hand. Y'all don't laugh at that. That is a bad joke. But it really does bring up a pretty critical point about how just the body functions. Okay, now in Scripture, the church is referenced as the body. That's the analogy that we see in Scripture, that Christ is the head and we're the body. But what happens when a certain member or part of the body isn't functioning? Zoe had one part of her body, one component of her makeup physically that ruptured and was no longer working properly, and it nearly took her life. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. I actually got on askmd.com, and I just did a Google search, and I said, how can an injury in one part of the body affect the rest of the body? I wasn't a strong student, and it's been 20 years ago now. I've been out of high school 20 years. It's crazy. So the answer to that question is, how does one part of the body being injured affect the rest of the body? And then the answer from the surgeon was fantastic. Who remembers the old song, Dim Bones? I know Keith does. You'll sing it? Can you go a little deeper? Dim Bones. That's actually, and if you maybe recognize the rest of the song, it says the foot bones connected to the ankle bones connected to the, that's as far as I got. All right, but it's all connected. And actually, I looked at the history of that song. It was actually written in the late 19th century. And it's a song written about Ezekiel chapter 37, where God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. And he told him to prophesy over the bones, right? And then the bones began to form and skin and ligaments, right? Just by prophesying. Now, Ezekiel had the gift of prophecy. But he goes on, what happens when one part of the body is injured. So, for example, injuring your left ankle may alter your gait and take the weight off the painful foot. You move quickly, more quickly than usual on your left side, lurching forward repeatedly on your right leg. This potent combination of force and misalignment can trigger bursitis and pain in your right hip. Thus, problems may zigzag up the body, making you vulnerable to further injuries, particularly if muscles supporting other joints are weak. It says, if you stage a general slowdown in response to all the new discomforts, other muscles may eventually become deconditioned too. And I love what he says here at the end. It says, take steps to prevent misalignments when possible. Misalignments. Now we are, if you have proclaimed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received not only the gift of salvation, but also the gift of the Spirit. Right? And we are the body of Christ, and Christ being the head. Colossians 1, verse 18 says, speaking to the preeminence of Christ, said he is we are the body, and he, Christ, is the head. We actually see that in several of Paul's epistles to the church. So I want to talk about that this morning, being aligned properly in the body with Christ as the head. Now, it's easy to get misalignments. I don't know how many of you go see the chiropractor. I try to go, but every time I go and he gets me realigned and readjusted, I feel 10 years younger, you know. And it just, everything's functioning better, a little bit better, pep in my step. I just feel better about life. But that misalignment, so We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And this may, and I realize, make some people a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about spiritual gifts. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, what are one of the first things we think of? And y'all know this is, feel free to speak. We're small, we're family. But when we think of spiritual gifts, really there's two gifts that I think come to mind for most people. That is not, but I like it. Usually, tongues and prophecy, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And we can actually argue, and I can make an argument both sides. There's some that believe that prophecy and the gift of tongues were limited to biblical times in the New Testament, and they died with the apostles. And there's some that believe that they carry on today, and people actually have prayer languages. I'm not here to argue either way. In fact, the specific gifts of the Spirit aren't even the message today. The message really is that we are all gifted, and that gifting, once we understand and accept that gift and use that gift properly, helps align the body under the head, which is Christ. And it says in Ephesians 4:16 that the equipping, which when we're equipped, every joint and the bones working together, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. So we're going to talk about that proper alignment this morning. And we're going to talk about spiritual health, spiritual gifts, and that alignment. Now, we spoke last week on the gift of faith. The spiritual health of the church, and I think rightfully so, God is in control of the spiritual health of the church, if we let Him. Now, He doesn't leave that up to us. And I think rightfully so, because if the spiritual condition of the church were left to us and our own devices, then one of two things would happen. Pride would take over, and we would just be unbearable to deal with, which is probably the less likely outcome of the two. Or the second scenario, I think that if in His plan left the spiritual condition of the church and health of the church to us, without His intervention, without His plan, without the gifts of the Spirit, I think that the body would be quite unhealthy. And in fact, I think if that was His plan, the body probably would have died a long time ago. But thankfully, He doesn't. He gives us His gift. And whether we like it or not, whether it makes us comfortable or not, if we've proclaimed Christ, then we have a role to play within the function of the body. We're not called, if you've been through, the church went through this study several years ago, they're not a fan. And I don't know why, literally this wasn't in my notes, but just it's coming to me. We're not, and I love the point of that series, the not a fan, is we're not called to just be fans of Christ, okay? We're called to be active members in the body of Christ. We all have a role, and we all have a function. We're not called to sit on the sidelines. We're not called, and this may be difficult for some to hear, we're not called to just show up to church for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, maybe sing some songs, maybe not, maybe tithe, maybe not, and then go home. That's not a functioning member of the body of Christ. It's not, and that may be difficult for some of you to hear. Maybe you don't want to hear it, but that's the truth. So let's look at some of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the workings of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. I told you there's lots of scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. You're going to recognize this from last week. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, that is the church, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And I love this. Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching, and the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now listen, both of these lists, this isn't an all-inclusive, all-exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. It's just not. I think the gifts of the Spirit manifest itself differently according to God's purposes for each member of the body, for the body to function. Okay? I don't have the gift of singing. Who would agree with that? You should all, if you're not raising your hand, you've never heard me sing. Okay? So, that is it. There's some within the church, Mike Gillum and his family. Listen, I'm jealous of Mike and his family. I am. You know, Mike's a good-looking guy and can sing and play guitar, and I don't have those abilities. But it's not pursuing being properly aligned within the body of Christ means that you're not pursuing something that God hasn't called you to do. And it's certainly not sitting on the sidelines. And it's certainly not getting involved. When we read, flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, maybe I can make this a little bit clearer. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, says, Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping and ministering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now listen to this, church. If you get nothing else out of the message today, listen to this. It says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, if we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, we get two lists of spiritual gifts. And one, I think, sounds a little bit more maybe exotic than the other. Maybe a little bit more spiritual than the other. In 1 Corinthians, we see wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. In Romans 12, we get service and teaching and generosity and leadership and mercy. That doesn't seem as exotic. Now, so when Paul's telling the church, okay, it's not seek the higher gifts that prophecy or speaking in tongues or teaching or preaching, right? Is the higher gift. That's not what he means. And he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. The higher gifts are this, the gifts that God has gifted you with and called you to. That is when the body is being equipped and functioning properly. If I pursued to be the music minister of this church, half of y'all would be going next door because it would just be terrible. But at the same time, you know, there's things we're all called to, acts of service, evangelism. I think there's some natural evangelists within this church. Are we okay?
Yeah.
There's some natural evangelists in this church. Look at Morris Whitener. I don't know that guy's ever gone to the grocery store without sharing Jesus with somebody. But for others, that's more difficult. That's more challenging to just share their faith. So the question is how do we fit within the body of Christ? How do we fit within the church? What is our role? And are we using it? We're good. We're good. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, these three chapters talk about, speak directly to the gifts of the Spirit. But chapter 13 is sort of nestled in between Paul talking about prophesying in the church, and then chapter 14, prophecy in tongues. But verse 13, or chapter 13, we all know chapter 13. Amen. It's the love chapter.
Amen.
So when Paul says at the end of chapter 12, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. What is that excellent way that he's speaking of? He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, 16, our main scripture, we're to use our gifts to build up the church, the body, in love. We're to use our gifts to build the body to grow in love. Now listen, I know I get up here all the time and I want to speak of God's grace and His love, and I can't help it. It just pours out of me. We are to use our gifts to build the church, to grow in love. Chapter 13, verse 3 says, if I give all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It says, verse 8, it says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. In verse 13, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. That's the point. If we're to be properly aligned in the body of Christ, to be doing our part, what God has purposed and planned for our lives, then we need to embrace the fact that He has given us each gifts, that we do have a role to play within His body. And once we are in that role, we are seeking that role, we are living within the plan and the purposes and the giftings that He's bestowed upon us, listen, we're going to see growth in our lives and our families, and that growth and that maturity will come through our love that is being built up. Now, some of you may think that I'm not that special. I don't, and I've thought this about myself, and I still do to a large degree. The fact that God's called me into vocational ministry still blows my mind most every Sunday when I get up. I can't believe still that I get to get up and teach out of God's Word. I don't feel worthy of that. And without God gifting me, I don't know that, well, certainly I wouldn't be here. This isn't something that I would have pursued. But we all have that place within the body and that more excellent way to pursue. Now, Zoe, speaking to the body that's injured and Zoe's healed, you know, when she got those two plasma transfusions, it really just hit me. That's a blood transfusion where they're giving her extra plasma. And there's two things that my spirit immediately snapped to when I heard that. For one, the blood of Christ that heals. For two, the Holy Spirit that comes in and binds it all together. That equips us. That helps the bone and the marrow and all of that grow. That's the gift of the Spirit, guys. And that really spoke to me. Our little dog, 3-pound dog, getting that transfusion. And that's what we need. You know, we get that initial transfusion, that gift of salvation, when we make a decision to follow Christ. But then we get the gift of the Spirit, and most of us, I say most of us, I don't know your heart, I don't know where you're at, you know, but many of us, we fail to pursue and accept the gift that God's called us to and to use it within the church. We don't feel as if we're worthy. We don't feel that. We feel ordinary, I think, is probably a better word. We feel like, how can God use us? How can God gift me? I can't do...
Inadequate.
Huh?
Inadequate.
And inadequate. That's a great word. I want to read and actually close with a story about the night that Jesus came. Christmas is coming up. We're talking about gifts. In Max Lucado's book, The Applause of Heaven, it says, there is one word that describes the night that Jesus came: ordinary. The sky was ordinary. An occasional guest stirred the leaves and chilled the air. The stars were diamonds sparkling on black velvet. Fleets of clouds floated in front of the moon. It was a beautiful night, a night worth peeking out your bedroom window to admire, but not really an unusual one. No reason to expect a surprise, nothing to keep a person awake. An ordinary night with an ordinary sky. The sheep were ordinary, some fat, some scrawny, some with barrel bellies, some with twig legs, common animals. That's funny to me because we're also the sheep and Jesus is the shepherd. No fleece made of gold, no history makers, no blue ribbon winners. They were simply sheep, lumpy, sleeping silhouettes on a hillside. And the shepherds, peasants they were, probably wearing all the clothes they owned, smelling like sheep, and looking just as woolly. Again, that's funny to me because we had to go to a feed a goat this morning, and I told Pam as we got back in the car, I said, I believe we smell like a manger. They were conscientious, willing to spend the night with their flocks, but you won't find their staffs in a museum nor their writings in a library. No one asked their opinion on the social justice or the application of the Torah. They were nameless and simple, an ordinary night with ordinary sheep and an ordinary shepherds. But and were it not for a God who loves them and who loves to hook an extra on the front of the ordinary, the night would have gone unnoticed. The sheep would have been forgotten and the shepherds would have slept the night away. But God dances amidst the common, and at that night he did a waltz. The black sky exploded with brightness. Trees that had been shadows jumped into clarity. Sheep that had been silent became a chorus of curiosity. One minute the shepherd was dead asleep. The next he was rubbing his eyes in spirit and staring to the face of an alien. The night was ordinary no more. The angel came in the night because that is when lights are best seen, and that is why they are the most needed. God comes into the common for the same reason. His most powerful tools are the simplest. And God wants to use us. You know, we are extraordinary. Joe Ishii and I learned this yesterday, not that we learned it for the first time, but we took a group of 20 kids to a Gift of Love at Southmont Baptist yesterday, and they got to hear the creation of account and the Christmas story and the crucifixion and resurrection, right? And in Genesis 1, when it's talking about the creation, and God is speaking life into existence, and he said it is good, and he created man, and what did he say? He said it is very good. We are extraordinary because God loves us, because he created us, because we are the object of his affection. And we're also extraordinary because he's gifted us with the gift of the Spirit. Don't forget that this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, that abiding love that gets us through the darkest days of the night. Father, it continues to surprise and amaze me as I take stock in my life on days where I feel inadequate, when I think that your plan can't possibly include me, when I feel sin is taking control, when I feel like I'm unusable, when I feel ashamed, when I feel ordinary. Father, your amazing love, your grace pulls me out of that, pulls me through the darkness of night. What a gift that is. And Father, I'm thankful for your Son that you sent, that gift of life. Father, and I'm thankful for the gift of the Spirit. And I pray for this little body, this group of believers, Father, that goes through life. We're trying to make our way. We're trying to please you. We're trying to feed our family. We're trying to do many things. Father, I pray that there's a very real understanding that we have a gift and a role within your body. Father, and you are the head. And as the head, Father, you get the praise and you get the glory. It's not gifts that we're pursuing to build ourselves up. Father, is to glorify you and to edify the church. Father, speak to us. Speak through us. Father, use us. And I pray that our hearts are open, our spirits are willing to accept the gifts that you do bestow upon us. Father, we love you. And we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's everybody stand, will we? The band is going to lead us in one last song. Listen, if there's something you're going through, you need prayer, you just want to talk, I'm here. Pam can be here as well. Maybe you've never asked the Lord, Lord, what is my role within the body? What are you gifting me with? I think it's an appropriate time to ask that question. If you're not comfortable coming up, I pray that you just, in this next few moments, just stand there, just you and God. Just go to the Lord. Close us in prayer, brother.